Hey, what's going on, Rudder Nation? As we go into this episode, I just want to let you know that I want to dedicate this episode to a cousin of ours who passed away recently in 2024, Jonathan Sines. Stay tuned to the very end. I'll read a poem called The Broken Chain. That is the official tribute to Jonathan Sines. Here we go. If you desire to create a life worth living in your faith, family, and career, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Beyond the Rut, the podcast that shares encouraging stories and practical tools to help pull you out of your rut into that life worth living. I'm your host, Jerry Dugan, and in this episode, we're going to dive into what is a rut, what are the lies that keep us stuck there, and what are two truths you can hold on to begin to pull yourself out of that rut. And we're going to dive right in. So grab a notebook, grab a pen, start taking notes, because here we go. Now, if you're not familiar with this show or what I've done in the past year and a half from this episode being recorded, is that in March 2023, I checked off a bucket list item and I published a book related to this show. And the hope was that it would encapsulate the lessons learned from over 350 interviews with great guests and help people identify the rut that they're stuck in, understand where it is you want to go, and then take action to get there. And yes, that is the RUT or rut methodology to get unstuck in life and create that life worth living in your faith, family, and career. And what I want to do is just share with you some of the tips from just chapter 2 of that book. And that book, if you want to get a copy of it off of Amazon, is Beyond the Rut, Create a Life Worth Living in Your Faith, Family, and Career. And you'll find that on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and so on. So I'm going to read you some of these excerpts, give some commentary, and hopefully this will help you identify whether or not you're stuck in a rut right now, what that rut looks like, what's holding you back, and then what can you do to free yourself from those chains. So here we go. What is the rut? The rut is a place in life where you're just going through the motions. It does not matter if you are considered successful by others, like a nice car, a home, a high income, or anything else that the American dream is said to be. It may not be enough to satisfy you. And emptiness permeates throughout your sense of being. Now, appearances may look great, but life on the inside of you feels like you're living in a house of cards that can topple down at any moment. Therefore, you have to keep doing what you're doing, even if it costs you your dreams, your passions, your visions for a better future. You feel trapped, but can't place why you feel trapped, at least not yet. You know, maybe financially you feel the way I did back in 2005. Having just paid off thousands of dollars of credit card debt over the span of 12 months, I laid in my bed after Christmas, the day after Christmas, and I wondered, how was I back where I started? You know, in December of last year, I had full credit card. And then a year later, I was back to having a full credit card, even though I knew full well I had paid it off fully. And we're talking about thousands of dollars. Now, my wife and I, we couldn't have possibly let Christmas, you know, pass by for the kids. Yet somehow we were surprised that Christmas came in December. So the thought of scraping by paycheck to paycheck to pay that debt off again in another 12 months, it felt like a crushing weight on me. And so how did a holiday celebrating the birth of my Messiah, my Savior, become a day that was all about the presence? And why did I let my family fall into this financial trap again? Is this the way life will be until the day I die? And I was 30 years old at the time, guys. What is the point of life if it's all about putting myself into bondage? How did I wind up in the rat race after all? I was trying to avoid this. So here are some lies that we believe that keep us stuck in a rut. So this is a mindset thing that keeps you trapped. There are a number of lies that you may have internalized keeping you stuck in that rut. So I want to just share a couple of these with you. Number one, lie number one, I'm not good enough or not worthy. The first lie you may face keeping you stuck in a rut is believing I'm not good enough or not worthy enough to have the life I'm dreaming of living. You know, children at a young age feel they could do anything. You know, think about when you were a child. You know, you could be a firefighter, you could be a soldier, you could be an artist, a musician, and it didn't matter if you were good or not, you could be those things. Imagine that confidence and that excitement. Now, in adulthood, things shift in a terrible way. I can never be a fireman because, you know, insert your excuse there. I would never be an artist. I mean, look, I could barely do stick figures. I'm a terrible artist. Some of that influence comes from people outside of you whom you've allowed to reinforce any internal doubts you have. And there are two types of people you'll come across that tell you that you're not worthy. Now, the first one I call the drowning victim. You know, when I learned how to swim, I was like 7 years old. And, you know, one of the things they taught us was rescue swimming. And an important thing about rescue swimming is that it's very dangerous. If you can get a flotation device out to the person and get them to hold onto that, great, do that. Now, if you absolutely have to go in and swim to get them, you got to come in from like behind their view, behind their reach, and then grab them from behind and stay out of their flailing arms. Because if you don't do that, what happens is they hold on to you and they push you down. So that drowning victim now drowns you in the process of you trying to save them. And then after you've drowned, they eventually drown anyway. And so the drowning victim is a very dangerous person to come across. And that lesson from swimming carried over into my own life, because this type of drowning victim in life, they don't have much going on in their own lives. So what they do is they lash out at you. Like, who do you think you are? Do you think you're better than us? Who do you think you are? You're never going to be smart enough to get into that school. You're never going to make enough money to pay off your college loans. You're never going to make it through basic training. So we're going to bet money against you. Now, some of these may have been bets against me, my own life, and I've proven them all wrong. Now, on the internet, you run into these folks all the time. We call them trolls. Some of them are bullies. They're just toxic people, whatever it is. These people feel like they've got nothing going on for their own lives. And to make themselves feel powerful, they take it out on you. They put you down. They take you down. And what they're sharing with you is nothing, has nothing to do with who you are or what you're capable of or not capable of. They're sharing with you what's going on inside their own hearts. And so if you want to have a better life, the first thing you got to learn to do is identify that drowning victim and stay clear of them if you can. Go in if you're truly in a spot where you can go in and rescue them. But overall, you got to learn to identify those drowning victims and stay away from them. And just like when the oxygen mask on a plane is, you know, comes down, if there's a depressurization in the cabin, you're told to put the mask on yourself first, then help somebody else next to you. The reason for that is you can't help somebody if you're passed out. Same thing. If you're going to cater to the drowning victim, you're going to drown. You're never going to reach your goals. Now, the second type of person you'll run into that may hold you back, make you feel like you're not good enough, that life is not worth pursuing, is what I refer to as the Hobbit in the Shire. Now, if you read J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, or that wonderful series called The Lord of the Rings, then you probably know where I'm going with that reference. You don't always pick it up with the movies, but it's very clear and often referred to over and over and over again in the books. And it's a lot more than just eating second breakfast, guys. Now, the Hobbits are a race of people who live in a beautiful meadow. They call it the Shire. Their homes are cozy. They're warm. They're filled with all kinds of comforts. Their lives are all about leisure, never going on adventures, and never deviating from routine or traditions. The Shire is safe. It's why the adventures of Bilbo and Frodo Baggins stand out in stark contrast to this life. Each of them had an internal struggle they faced before going on their adventures, and there may have been times when it seemed easier to hang up the adventure and go back to the Shire. So the second type of person trying to hold you back is most likely you. As you compared yourself to others while growing up, as you took on ridicule from schoolmates or parents, you started to wall up your cozy home and create your own version of the Shire. You may have said the following phrases to yourself at some point in your life. I'm not good enough or ready enough to go on an adventure. Who do I think I am? I'm not qualified to write a book, start a business, be a dancer, be a director, a manager. You know, I'll get started when I get that next promotion. You know, I want to get that college degree, but I have to apply to get in first. Pursuing your dream starts as an inside job, overcoming the doubts that keep you in a rut. And I want to let you know you can do it. So lie number one is believing the lie that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy enough, that you're not capable of pursuing the thing you want to pursue. Everything's figure outable, according to, I forget the name of the author who says that. It's Amy Porter, I think. No. She doesn't know who I am. Anyway, it's a different lady, not Amy Porter, the other lady. Okay. Lie number two, I don't have enough time. The second lie you come across is I don't have enough time. It's important to leverage your time with intentionality because it is the one resource you cannot replenish. We are all truly on borrowed time. The question is, how will you use that time? As you read through this manifesto, so I'm reading through the manifesto right now. I'm giving you some excerpts from it. But if you were to get this book and you read through it or you read through it again, you'll find that time is what you make of it. You may think you don't have time because of work, perceived obligations, and need to relax. You may not have time because you have family responsibilities. Whatever the reason is, time is what you make of it. Business leaders create strategic plans for their companies all the time. These strategic plans identify the core of a company's business and its values, then identify key pillars and objectives that align with the mission and vision of that company. These pillars and objectives then allow companies to create guardrails of things they will always do and things they will never do. Steadfast execution of a strategic plan by leadership means that time and resources are used to achieve those desired goals. You can apply this concept of having a strategic plan in your own life. Does your life have a mission statement? Does it have a vision statement? And do you have guardrails on how you will and will never use your time? And if you want a tool to help you, by the way, go to beyondtherut.com/goals, and you got a free tool there that'll help you design that life, that strategic plan for yourself, guardrails in the areas of your faith, family, fitness, finances, and future possibility, that future person you want to become. All right, lie number three, I can't afford my dream. Money, it's the root of all evil, right? A few of you may have already corrected me on that reference. If you're biblical, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. But that's not the point. Another lie you may tell yourself is you can't afford to pursue your dreams. You don't have the money. Tuition is too high. I don't earn enough money to do that. I can't afford the coaching program that'll help me. I can't afford the software or the equipment that'll help me start my business. You know, similar to the time shortfall, you can roll up your sleeves and take the time to inventory where your money goes right now. That inventory will show you where your money is spent well, where it's saved well, where it's invested, and, you know, most importantly, where you're wasting it. A budget will help give you a map of where your money goes every month. So budget isn't so much a bad word as it's a map. So, you know, if I'm getting from point A to point B, you know, I'm going to go from Dallas to Los Angeles or, I don't know, Seattle, someplace, Washington, D.C., Connecticut, you know, Saskatchewan. I probably will need a map to get me from where I am to where I'm going. A budget is exactly that. I have this much money to start off the month. This is how I'm going to end up to zero, but this is where that money will go during that journey. And that includes investing. That includes saving. That includes investing in yourself. So you might be avoiding exercise or this exercise of a budget because you lack the courage to face the truth of where you are. So that's a key thing. You know, budgets are great. Getting from point A to point B with a map is great. But to do either of those things, you have to have the courage to acknowledge where you are. If you're lost in the woods, that's the most important thing to get unlost is identify where I am right now. And that means stopping and taking a moment to learn what is my situation? What do I have around me? What do I know? What do I don't know? Or what do I not know? There we go. So budgeting might feel like it takes away from your sense of freedom to spend carefree, but that kind of spending may be what you feel you have. And so, you know, some people do retail therapy and that puts them in a financial rut. So you got to face it. If that's happening, you got to face it. Now, at the time I wrote my book, I was 46. I'm now 48. And I drew from a lesson out of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it wasn't the, you know, rather than saying I can't afford it, the question that Robert Kiyosaki talks about is how can I afford that? And by changing it from a statement to this question, you start to create solutions. You start to realize, oh, I do have the money to make this happen. You know, there was a time where, you know, money was a little tight. And this in the past year and a half. So leaving a corporate job, you know, there isn't a paycheck coming in every 2 weeks. But on the flip side, I feel a lot better. Now with that, there's the occasional stress point. And this is me just sharing with you being raw and real. I inadvertently paid a bill that it wasn't time to pay that because we had rent coming up. But I couldn't get that money back because it had already transferred. It was to pay off a debt. And so instead of being ahead a few hundred dollars, we were now behind a few hundred dollars. And I was just at a loss. And I thought, what do I do? I can't afford rent. And I remembered this part of the book and I remembered, how can I afford rent? And as soon as I said that, I realized, wait, I still have this in savings. That'll do this. I'm earning income in these ways. I'll have this much money by this day. We've got it. We've got groceries. We've got gas. Let me talk to my wife. Share with her what we've got, and we got a little help from somebody, and it was done deal. Like less than a couple hours, and we were back on track. And so all that to say, just simply asking, how can I afford something? How can I make something happen? What can I do to make this work? And those types of questions get your brain thinking. So those are three big lies. I'm sorry. The first one, telling yourself you're not worthy enough. The second one saying that you don't have the time for it. And the third one being, I don't have the money for it. And those are three lies. There is time if you make it. You got to find out where you're wasting it. Really do a cost benefit analysis. What's your priority? Put your time in your priority. If it's a money thing, where is the money? Do you really do need to collapse things or just shuffle some things around or go out and earn a little bit more if that's possible? There's always a solution to what you're going through. Now, I want to share with you two truths that'll help counter these three big lies. And then we'll wrap this thing up with a bow. How does that sound? Right? Awesome. So two truths. Ruts are not that deep, yet you may feel like you're trapped and cannot get out. Here are two funny truths about that rut you're in. The first truth is that you were conditioned to stay there. Let's think about circus elephants, man. I couldn't say the word elephants. All right. So circus elephants, they're trained at an early age to stay put. So trainers, they put a stake in the ground with a tether and a heavy chain to the leg of that young elephant. So it can't move. It can't go beyond the length of that chain. Now, by the time that elephant becomes an adult, this is done almost everywhere they go. By the time that elephant's an adult, it believes that it does not have the power to go beyond the length of that chain. That belief is so strong that its handlers don't really need to drive the stake deeply into the ground because that elephant never realizes it has the power to pull that stake up and enjoy freedom. That's crazy, right? That you're conditioned to a point where even though you have more than enough power to pull that stake up out of the ground, you don't, because deep down you believe you can't. You're just conditioned. I see this tied to this, staked into that. I can't move. And that elephant never stops to think, wait, I can move trucks. I can move multiple people. I carry people on my back, but I can't pull this little stake out of the ground. And that's a mindset issue. That's a conditioning. So keep in mind that I'm speaking metaphorically to make this illustration. So I'm not calling you a circus animal, and I don't condone this practice either. So a little disclaimer there. But what I wanted to point out is that you yourself are trained at an early age in your own social bindings. Below are some of these tethers that you've been taught early in life and throughout your life. The resistance you meet going through life may have trained you to put a stake in the ground that keeps you in the same place. You walk in circles around that stake, never venturing farther than the rope on your ankles. And eventually, a rut forms in the ground that becomes easy for you to follow. In a sense, you're waiting for someone to release you from that stake in the ground when you have the power to remove it the entire time. So one of those stakes in the ground are go to school, get good grades, get a good job. And I know some of you are probably laughing at me already, but a lot of us are conditioned to that. I have a master's degree. And, you know, crazy thing is I make my money talking to people about hope and creating better environments for themselves and for others. And to make, you know, make sure that the bills are paid. Sometimes I jump in a car and I drive for Uber or Lyft. I don't need a master's for that. In fact, you don't need a master's for anything except maybe, well, you do need a master's for some things. I'll take that back. But there are a lot of things that you could do for money that don't require a degree, and you could make a lot of money. There we go. That's the point I was trying to make there. Sorry, guys. All right. So I had the honor of chatting with a former superintendent this years ago with the school district. Now, he picked up on my interest in history, and he shared with me that the history of the school bell and the concept of switching classes in public schools was about teaching our students to function in our society. So industrialization was a big thing when public schools were also a big thing, and compulsory education had become commonplace. So public schools are scheduled and structured in a way to get the most instruction covered in the time available. At least that's what we say. But the bell and the switching of classes, that is a conditioning to help you understand that the ringing of a bell was to transition from one task to another, from work time to break time and then back to work, from work time to lunchtime and then back to work, and then ultimately to the end of the day. So these bells at a certain time of the day trigger you to go do a thing. So when you went to work in the factories, you weren't in an alien environment. In fact, you were right at home with it. And so that is one of those truths that we're conditioned to be in our rut. Now, public schools are designed to condition students to think by the hour and to think of an 8-hour workday. It doesn't matter how quickly or slowly you learn, you have to put your time in at the office. I mean, at school. Your high performers don't get to leave early because they got their work done early. Many instances, they're challenged not much further than the status quo. And your low performers, they don't get to explore topics and subjects that are relevant to their needs. They got to do what the school tells them. They have to stay put. They got to endure the standardized track, and it doesn't connect with them. And if they don't, they get punished. They got to put in more time. They get kicked out of school, but they still have to go to school because of compulsory education. So everyone in the middle is just doing enough to get to avoid getting placed in detention. They just want to get through the day, get home. So I mentioned all that. School is one of those things that conditions us to get into the workplace, clock in, clock out, all those things. Now, the second truth, your rut is not as deep as it seems. So the first one is you were conditioned to be there. The second one, I mentioned it earlier, your rut is not as deep as you think. Now, I like to go hiking, and on some of the trails, they're multi-trails, they're traveled by horses, and their heavy weight actually creates these grooves in that trail. And it's very easy for all the horses and hikers to follow. And I find myself mindlessly walking through those ruts. Now, sometimes those ruts become 2-foot trenches that are a challenge to squeeze through. But most of the time, however, that rut's just a few inches deep. Now, it's easy to follow the ruts and grooves of our lives. Everything in nature likes to follow the path of least resistance. Our behavior is not much different. In fact, we become like that elephant I described earlier. It becomes easier to go with the flow rather than resist just a little to alter your own course. So whatever the rut is in your life, I want you to know you can climb out of it. And it may be easier than you think if you'll add some intentionality to your progress. So those two truths, in summary, you were conditioned to stay in your rut either by personal choice or external influences or a combination of both. And two, your rut is not as deep as you think. So there you have it. Those three lies. Again, you might believe you're not worthy. You don't have the capability to go do the thing you want to do. The second lie might be you don't think you have the time. But if you do some rescheduling, prioritize some things differently, give something up for the thing you want, that'll be better. You can do it. And the third one, I don't have the money. I can never afford it. There's almost always a payment plan out there of some kind. There's always an expense you can cut. There's always a way. It doesn't always have to be a scholarship or else I can't go. There's always a way. And this doesn't mean you got to rack up tens of thousands of dollars in debt. That's a big risk. I don't always recommend it. Doesn't always pay out for me, that's for sure. So, but there's a way. You know, it may mean you have to give up something for a short time to go do the thing that's more important for you. And guys, I'm glad I got to share that with you. That comes from chapter 2 of my book, Beyond the Rut, Create a Life Worth Living in Your Faith, Family, and Career. It's those three lies about life that we tell ourselves and the two truths that will get you out of your rut. If you want a copy of it, go to beyondtherut.com/book. That'll take you to the listing on Amazon. If you prefer Barnes & Noble, you can get it there. If you like a paper copy, either of those two will get you that. It's also available as an ebook on Amazon as a Kindle. And then if you buy a copy of the book, you get the audiobook for free. So you get the smooth voice of Jerry Dugan reading to you. Mwahaha. And maybe get extra copies. I did not price this thing so it's ludicrous. I priced this so that it pays for itself, it pays for the promotions, and gets the word out there to change people's lives. Because, you know, life is just too short to live stuck in a rut. That's something I firmly believe. There's always an action you can take. There's always a direction you can go. The question is it the direction you want to go? That'll give you the life you want to live. And will you bring the right people with you? Like your family, your kids, those kinds of things. Now, if you want more on this, you know, some of the resources I mentioned, check out the show notes, beyondtherut.com/414. Again, go to Amazon, get a copy of this book. You can check out the show notes, beyondtherut.com/414. But the most important thing is identify if you're stuck in a rut because of a mindset you're holding on to, a lie that you're holding on to. And then what is it you can do to break free of that lie? And then what's next? All right. So I'm glad you joined me for this episode, and I look forward to joining with you again on the next one. But until then, go live life beyond the rut. Take care. Thank you for listening to this whole episode and staying to the very end here. Now, I wanted to read this poem because it was on the card that was given out at the funeral of my cousin, Jonathan Sines. And he just passed away at the age of 34. Very tragic loss. And He's going to be missed very greatly. And just a very positive guy. Every encounter I had with him was a great conversation, a nice conversation, a pleasant one. And you could tell this guy was a very genuinely caring person, very gentle soul. And he liked connecting with people, and he liked seeing what people were up to and having a good laugh. So to see him leave this earth so soon was very, very sad to experience. So this poem is called The Broken Chain, and I just wanted to read it for you as tribute for Jonathan. So if you're hearing this, thank you. We knew little that morning that God was going to call your name. In life, we loved you dearly. In death, we do the same. It broke our hearts to lose you. You did not go alone, for part of us went with you that day God called you home. You left us peaceful memories. Your love is still our guide, and though we cannot see you, you are always at our side. Our family chain is broken and nothing seems the same, but as God calls us one by one, the chain will link again. Thank you.